Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm your host, Dr. Judy. You can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. All shows are archived. Any shows that you've missed in the past, you can find on the Naturally Healthy Pets show page. So today, I thought we would turn the tables a little bit. And instead of me interviewing someone else, I have a guest who has been studying building businesses and how entrepreneurs get started, how they build their businesses, and what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And so our guest today is actually going to interview me. And our guest is an entrepreneur herself, and that guest is my daughter, Gwendolyn Campbell. Gwen is actually an engineer, industrial and systems engineer. Is that what you are, Gwen?
Yeah, there you go.
I paid for the degree. I don't know what it is. And also a packaging engineer. And so first, before you start interviewing me, what I'd like you to do is just tell people a little bit about your story, because you do have a very cool story, Gwen. I mean, nobody does what you did. And so just give them a little bit of background about what you did after graduation and what you're doing now and how that's going.
Sure. So as most people probably know, both my parents are veterinarians. So I thought for the longest time that I was going to be a veterinarian myself, take over the family business. Unfortunately, that path wasn't the right path for me, so I chose engineering instead. And then my senior year of college, I actually had a job offer on Wall Street for the big bucks. And I decided to deny that and pick up and move to a city that I had never actually even visited before, Raleigh, North Carolina. And I wanted to dive headfirst in the North Carolina startup scene and be really impactful with my work. So I ended up getting the first job. I was the first employee hired at a startup company off a cold call to the CEO. That was in 2015, and I've been there ever since. So I was the first hire. Now we're up to about 10 people, two products, and we are expanding rapidly. So,
and
not the traditional track.
Not the traditional track at all. So basically, Gwen, packed what she could fit from her college house that she rented into her car, which was just a little Honda CRV, so it wasn't a lot of stuff, two cats and a guinea pig, and hit the road and, lived out of a suitcase in an apartment with no furniture for a while. And so tell everybody about the product that you have helped develop and market and, what that product is for and how it's doing.
Yeah, so I saw the website back in 2015 when I decided to reach out to the CEO, and he had a Kickstarter campaign for this little wearable bracelet that would vibrate to remind students to stay on task. And he's a school psychologist. It was developed to help kids primarily with ADHD and on the autism spectrum be able to focus better in class. So I knew that was a really great cause, and I could work every day on a project that was helping improve the lives of others, of children with special needs in these families. So I came on board at the tail end of the development of that first product. I helped finalize the engineering and go into mass production and sell to customers. And then I'm actually one of the inventors for our second product, which is called Revive Connect. And it's the same premise, but we added an app and some data capabilities to it, so that way parents and teachers can actually see how the children are focusing throughout the day, their activity levels, and it's still proactively reminding them and helping them stay on task. So the whole idea is helping, parents, teachers, and these kids that are struggling to stay on task to help them focus better in the classroom.
And as far as I know, it's going well, yes?
Yeah, it's going amazing. We've had great success. We just launched the second product a few months ago, and it's selling like hotcakes, so we're super happy about that.
That's awesome. And helping just a ton of kids. So, you know, it's being well received because it's a really good product. So the company is Revibe. What's the website for it?
It's revibetech.com. It's R-E-V-I-B-E.
revibetech.com. So, you know,
yep.
I think that there's an awful lot of people out there that have, you know, either themselves or children who have problems focusing, staying on task, have, you know, are some, you know, there's so many children who are, you know, I think more and more that are being diagnosed on the ADHD or autism spectrum. So I think this product can be incredibly helpful. And, you know, so, you know, Gwen just had this desire to give back and to help and not just be another cog in the big Wall Street wheel. So I applaud anyone who sees a need and wants to fill that niche and really kind of give back to society. And certainly, you know, starting out on the entrepreneurial scale, Gwen gave up the big bucks to go do this. Hopefully it'll all pay off in the long run, but certainly in the short term, you starve a little bit.
Yeah, it was a humble beginning, but you know what they say about, you know, joining on the ground floor, it's a higher risk but a higher reward, and honestly, it's been a great experience both professionally and getting to help kids. We really can't ask for more in a day-to-day job, so can't complain.
That is true. Okay, so we're going to turn the tables now, and Gwen has started a new business blog. So tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll let you take over the reins here.
Yeah, so the motivation behind starting my blog was I get a lot of questions about what is it like being a part of a startup company? What is it like to build up a business or invent a product? I get those questions all the time, so I wanted to provide just free content for other people to read and learn a little bit more about the experience, but I didn't want to just repeat my story over and over again because I don't think that's nearly as impactful as sharing the stories of others from diverse backgrounds. So I started this blog where each week we feature a different entrepreneur, and they're very diverse, racially, ages, education levels. I try to make them as different as possible, so that way when we highlight a new entrepreneur, it's going to inspire and impact someone that will see it and think, wow, this is really awesome. I want to be just like them and learn a little bit more about how they did it. So one of my features, of course, is the famous Dr. Judy Morgan for building up the veterinary businesses, not just your brick-and-mortar practices, but you started your online business, and you also became an author, which I thought was a really cool story. So that was my motivation behind the blog in general, and specifically to interview you. I think you have a really cool story that people could learn from, and I think your clients as well would appreciate hearing your story because it's very motivational, and it shows that you really worked hard to get to where you are, and nothing was given to you, which I think is really impactful for people to see from you.
Yeah, nothing was handed over. That's for darn sure. So where do you want to start?
So let's just start a little bit with, you know, the very beginning, kind of what inspired you to be a veterinarian and to pursue that degree?
So I was when I was a small child, we had, a house dog, and then my dad had a hunting dog that lived outside more than inside. And, you know, they were dogs, but we weren't really, like, totally dog people. Our dogs never went to the veterinarian. Veterinarians for me just kind of didn't even exist. You know, the only times we went were for like bad things. So, but when I was in eighth grade, I had started riding horses and I had a show pony, and he was very lame and he had gotten to the point where he couldn't be ridden anymore, and he needed our equine veterinarian, who was a family friend, said, well, we could do a neurectomy, which basically was remove part of the nerves in his front feet so that they would be kind of numb, and it might just give him enough comfort level that he would be able to be turned out in the field and live out the rest of his life, not being rideable, but just being comfortable and being out with the other ponies and, you know, being a pasture sped. And so my parents were nice enough to fork over the money for it. I think we paid, I don't know, $600 or $900, but, you know, that was back in, oh my gosh, the early 70s. And so it was a lot of money at the time, but I got to help with the surgery. So we did it right in the field at the farm, and you know, put the pony under anesthesia, and I got to, you know, help hand over instruments, and then I was taught how to do the bandaging and the aftercare. And I swear that veterinarian, like, I idolized her. I would kiss the ground she walked on, and I got to help her all summer when, you know, clients would bring horses to the farm or she'd be treating other horses, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So I was 12 maybe at the time, and from that minute on, I was just very focused. And frankly, I wanted to be an equine veterinarian. I wanted to work on horses. And I did not change that focus until halfway through senior year of vet school. And then I went to small animal.
Yeah, it's interesting that your passion started out. The reason you became a veterinarian is equine, and then you ended up switching ultimately to opening two small animal practices. And tell us a little bit more about your experience through school. I mean, it's pretty obvious from your track record that you're a very good student. You're the valedictorian of your high school. You were very successful in vet school. Just give your followers a little bit of a taste of what it was like going through that education for you.
So it's called crazy. And so, you know, you see the doctor shows on TV, and I think now on cable there's a couple of shows where they're actually following vet students. I think there's one with Cornell vet students. There was one with Penn vet students for a while. But literally, it is around the clock learning. Class would be, the first couple of years was class 9 to 5, and then, you know, you'd go get a meal and then go back to school and be in the labs, you know, with the microscopes and the, you know, dissection and whatever, studying until all hours of the night. And it was not a 5-day-a-week thing. It was a 7-day-a-week thing. And then when we got into junior year, we got into clinics. So you would be in the clinics at 5 o'clock in the morning doing your treatments, then be in class all day doing rounds, and then doing your evening treatments. And I didn't have much money. I was paying my own way through veterinary school. So I lived in the small animal clinic in my junior year and took emergency calls overnight. So every sixth night, I would be up all night in the emergency room helping deal with emergency patients and helping the interns and residents in emergency. And then senior year, there's no summer break between semesters. You go all year round. And then senior year, I moved into the large animal clinic, and there were only two of us. So that meant that every other night, I was up all night in the ER doing colic surgeries on horses, or, you know, doing intake for, you know, sick cows and sheep and pigs and whatever came in all night long, and doing treatments all night. And twice during the year, each senior student takes 6 weeks and goes out to work at clinics. So 12 weeks out of that senior year, each of us lived in that clinic by ourselves. So for 12 weeks out of the year, I was on call every single night and still had to do all of my daytime stuff. But it gave me a free place to live so that I could, you know, frankly, pay my bills. And so it was pretty stressful, but the education was unbeatable. I learned so much more by doing that. For me, it was a great experience. I would never want to do it again.
That sounds absolutely exhausting. I feel like it's probably a little bit easier in your 20s, but that still doesn't really sound like an easy path at all.
No, it was definitely easier then. And, you know, I kept that same crazy work ethic after your brother was born in 1989. I lost my job over the whole pregnancy thing. That was, you know, before the times when women actually had rights. But anyway, it's another long story. But because I didn't have a job after he was born and I needed money, I started doing basically substitute vet. I was a relief veterinarian. So when somebody would be on vacation or they needed an extra hand because one of their doctors was out on maternity leave or whatever, I would go in and be the substitute vet. And I didn't just work 40 hours a week when I did that. I would work all day, Monday through Saturday, in clinics, and then at least two nights a week, I went and worked at an emergency service overnight. When I was pregnant for you, so that your brother was four at the time, three and a half, we were short on vets at the one emergency service that I was working at, so I went in Friday night at 8 o'clock, worked around the clock until Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and that was through 9 months of pregnancy. But, you know, the money was good, and I needed it, and, I had kids to support, and so I did it. But I could never go back to doing that now. I don't have that kind of energy anymore.
Yeah, and especially trying to balance a family, small children, that type of schedule and workload just sounds like a very stressful path for a mother.
Well, the good news is it made you, the children, much closer to dad because your father was home taking care of you, you know, full-time by himself. He would call me sometimes and go, I don't know what they want, you know. I remember one time he called me and I was at work and he said, Andrew keeps saying rotor pants. He wants the rotor pants. What the heck is the rotor pants? I said, oh, he wants the rolling pin. he was absolutely flummoxed. He was just like, I don't know what he wants.
We need a mom translation.
Yeah, we needed the mom translator. But we also had live-in nannies for the first few years. And that was great because we had nannies from Sweden and Austria and Ireland and Germany. So it was kind of fun having people live in. It was kind of fun learning about other cultures. And frankly, you and Andrew both spoke Swedish pretty well for the first few years. And I know neither of you remember any Swedish at this point, but you did. Your nannies taught you Swedish.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't become bilingual. It didn't stick, unfortunately.
Well, your brother got it longer, and it didn't stick with him either. So
true. But it was about this same time when you started to settle down a little bit because you got your opportunity to purchase a little bit of equity into a clinic. So talk about that transition from going from this crazy schedule of bouncing around to clinic and moving into more of an ownership opportunity. What was that transition like?
Well, that was crazy, too, because we were living up near Princeton, New Jersey. So that's in the middle of New Jersey. And even though New Jersey is a small state, it still takes a while to get from one end to the other. And so I bought into a clinic near the hometown where I grew up. And it was down in Clayton. And I was doing technically relief work, but I was working at least 4 days a week for a clinic in Pittman, and a realtor sent just kind of a mailer around saying that this veterinary clinic in Clayton was for sale. The guy was ready to retire. He was from Dominica, I think, and he was moving back there. And so the practice was for sale, and he was a homeopath. So we used to laugh about the practice and say, oh, they practice voodoo medicine there, which, you know, things come full circle, so it's kind of funny. But this, you know, for some reason, the realtor sent it to me, and my boss didn't get that. And so I opened it, and then I drove by the clinic, and it was a dump. I mean, total dump. And I said, oh, gosh, you know, I would love to have my own clinic because I had tried once before and failed, didn't pass zoning after spending a ton of money. And so I thought, man, this would be really cool, but I don't have the money to buy this. I don't think I can get the loan to buy this because I still had student loans. I mean, you know, I'm swimming in debt. And so I went to my boss, and, you know, looking back, I guess it was the right thing to do. I don't know. But there was a part of me that ethically would not allow me to open up 5 miles away from his practice and, you know, take business. I had a, you know, good following, and I just couldn't do it. Morally, I just said, I can't be his competitor. He's been nice enough to employ me for the past 4 years. So I went to him, and I said, hey, here's this opportunity, you know, down the road, and we were bursting at the seams. It was a little tiny converted house that we were working out of. We were bursting at the seams. We had, you know, more clients than we could fit in the building, more people than we could fit in the building. And I said, you know, why don't we open a satellite clinic? We can do it together. You know, this will be a good opportunity. And he put his foot down and said, absolutely not, no way, no how. And I said, well, here's the thing. You can do this with me or I'm doing it by myself, but I think it's a good opportunity and we should do it. And so he didn't want me to be the competition either. And so he said, okay, we'll do this. And we had a big staff meeting, and, you know, everybody said, okay, fine, we'll do this. But here I am thinking, okay, we're going to be 50-50 partners, or hey, maybe I'll own a little bit more of it because I found it. No, he got 70%, I got 30%. But I borrowed $20,000 from my grandfather who, you know, said, no, I believe in you and I will loan you this money. And so I think I was paying him back like $900 a month. You know, and I was just like, okay, that was the first bill I paid every month because I was not about to stiff my grandfather because he was so nice to allow me to do it. And then my partner, Bob, he's a veterinarian but a frustrated construction guy. He loved to do construction, so he did all the rehab of the building, which was just awesome because we did it for, you know, a tenth of what it would have cost us. So we got into it, and it worked out really well. We were partners for 10 years, and after 10 years, he said, you know, I think it's time that you should buy me out, and, you know, we should split this up. And he was building the old clinic. He was building a new one that was bigger and better, and, you know, he had like 8 doctors working there. And so I guess for better or for worse, at that point, we had built Clayton up to $1 million practice. And so I only owned 30% of that, and I had to go get a $700,000 loan to buy out my partner. And then I also had to get another almost $400,000 loan to buy the property. So I took a giant leap into debt.
Right, and that must have been scary at that point in your life to get a little bit of stability back for your family. You have 2 kids at this point, you have a husband, and to jump into that, I mean, a little bit of a risk to take out a loan to be able to purchase the clinic. So I guess what was the reasoning in your head where you said, you know what, I'm going to risk it. This is a good idea. I'm going to go for it. What were you thinking throughout the process?
I think I was kind of crazy because we were also building a house, you know, one of those little McMansions on the hill. It wasn't a huge one, but it was a little McMansion on a hill, so we were taking that debt on as well. But it's time for us to take a break to hear from our sponsor, so we're going to hold that thought, and you're all going to find out why I decided to be that crazy when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are 2 great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's dental drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's dental drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I promised I would tell you why I was crazy enough to take out a bank loan over $1 million. You know, frankly, my first boss that I worked for, I only lasted there about a year, and I was commuting over an hour, so I ended up taking a job closer to home. And the guy that I worked for, he's the guy who fired me for being pregnant, so he ended up not being the best guy in the world. But he was a phenomenal businessman, which is why he fired me for being pregnant, because he was like, I don't want to deal with this. But he was a phenomenal businessman, and he took trips all over the world. He, you know, I was there working the practice all the time, working my butt off, and he would do things like, hey, instead of working every other Saturday, now you're going to work every Saturday because we're busy, and I got no raise, you know, and the first couple of times he did that to me, like every spring he would do it, and then in the winter I'd go back to every other, and, you know, the first couple of times he did it, I was like, okay, because my boss told me to do something, so I just did it, and my husband at the time said, don't you think you should get more money if you're going in and working more hours? And I was like, oh, yeah, huh. But I had never, you know, I never stood up for myself. I didn't talk back to anyone. What did I know? You know, I was just like, yeah, I was told to do something. I'm going to go do it. And then, you know, working with when Bob and I had the clinic together as partners, you know, he was the majority partner. And I saw the paychecks that I was getting, and I knew that I was only getting 30% and that he was getting a really big paycheck. And he also had the other clinic, so he was getting a really big paycheck. And I said, you know, I think I'd rather be the person getting the bigger paycheck. So it was worth it to me because I was looking at the long haul. Although it almost ended in disaster pretty quickly.
And you mentioned that the first year you owned your business, it almost failed. So what did you do to intervene and to build your businesses up to what they are today, which are very successful businesses?
Well, so once I had all that power. I had this big loan, but, you know, we were paying the bills, and oh my gosh, I can't even remember what year that was. 2007, I guess. And that was, you know, the economy was just booming. And, I mean, people were just kind of rolling in the door and spending money without really thinking about it. And so suddenly I was making so much money. So I bought a new car and I bought a new truck. And, you know, I bought a house at the shore. I was crazy. I was just borrowing more and more and more money. It was kind of like, oh, $1 million in debt. What's a little more? And hey, look, I've got these big paychecks and I can afford it. And within a year, I was almost bankrupt. I had just gone crazy. I had no idea how to manage a business. I had no idea how to do the business part of it. They don't teach you that in vet school. They teach you how to, you know, diagnose things and treat them. They don't teach you how to diagnose a checkbook. And I had always been really good about my household finances, but this was just a whole new ballgame for me, and I was really clueless. So I was approached I was cold called, literally, by a consultant on the West Coast. And, you know, they had me fill out this questionnaire. You know, they were very smart about it. They had me fill out this questionnaire, and you answer all these questions, and then they, you know, do a one-hour analysis for free. And at the end of the 1 hour, I was in tears. I was like, look, I haven't taken a paycheck in 6 weeks. I'm broke. I can't pay the bills. I've got all these credit card loans. I don't know what to do. And they said, that's great. You need help from us. It'll be $35,000. And I broke into tears. And it happened to be my birthday when I had this call with them, and you know, as I was hysterical because I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell my family I'm going down in flames here? And so I said to the guy, all right, I have a credit card that has a $35,000 limit on it. I'm going to pay this entire thing with that credit card. And I'm either going to sink or swim. And so, man, I hope you can teach me how to swim. And by the way, I'm not a very good swimmer. I said, I hope you can teach me how to swim, because otherwise this is going to be the ugliest flames ever. And so let me tell you, those consultants were so good. We had to fly to Oregon, and I took the first thing we did is we found we had an embezzler in the practice. So it wasn't just me wasting all the money. It was also someone embezzling. So we got that straightened out and got that person out, which, by the way, the legal folks didn't support me at all. They supported her. So I never got any money back from it, but that's okay. We got rid of the embezzler. So I took my two new potential office managers, and we hopped on a plane and went to Oregon. And over the course of about 3 or 4 months, we went to Oregon 5 times. And so I was spending a lot of money to travel and, you know, take us out there and learn from these people. But frankly, they were so good. These consultants were so good. And they taught us how to run a business, how to treat our patients. Actually, our medicine got 100 times better because they taught us the things we were overlooking, the things that we weren't doing for our patients. That, I mean, there was just so much that we needed to learn. And I paid off that credit card debt within the first 2 months. That's how good they were. And we've never looked back. Everything that they taught us, we still use to this day. And it's made our medicine better. It's made our business better. And, you know, one of the scary things with being a business owner is that I have 10 employees who I'm responsible for. And if I don't run that business well, not only do I not get paid, but they don't get paid. And I know that many of them live paycheck to paycheck. They work really, really hard for me. They do a great job. I love every one of them. And I would feel, frankly, I hold it together a lot of times because I don't want to let them down, because they're very, very important to me. And I want them to keep learning, and I want it to be a positive experience, and I want to be able to reward them. So it's very important to me that we do things the right way so that they can support their families well.
And you've had very loyal employees for many years, for over 10 years since you started transferring ownership.
Yes, Cindy's been with us for 23, I think. It's just amazing.
Right, yeah, because she was with the previous owner as well.
Yes.
So you've definitely bred some loyalty and have amazing vet techs and receptionists. I worked firsthand with them as a kid, and they're all great people. So you guys have done a great job building a wonderful business that not only supports the clients and pets that bring them in, but the families that are there helping make it all happen, and your employees. So I think you guys have done a great job doing that. I did want to pry into your brain a little bit about how you made the transition from being a more traditional veterinarian into the more holistic path. Because I remember there was a pretty distinct moment when you started to get more into the chiropractic and more alternative side of things. So what was that transition, and how did you become Dr. Judy Morgan, holistic veterinarian that you are today?
Well, it was a long journey. About 1992, Bob and I were still partners. It was not long after we opened Clayton that a card came across our desk for continuing education called Veterinary Orthopedic Manipulation, and it talked about how we could help our patients recover faster after orthopedic surgeries, and how we could change mobility, and just it didn't say anything about chiropractic. It didn't say anything about it being alternative. All it said was this is a great continuing education course, and it wasn't horribly expensive. So I went to Bob and I said, hey, I'd like to take this course because you do orthopedic surgeries. I'd like to be able to help with the rehab because I don't do orthopedic surgeries. And at that point, I was thinking maybe I wanted to, rehab was just real, and physical therapy was just starting to get a foothold. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty cool. We could be the first ones to do that. So I went and took the course, and, after about 2 hours into the course, I was like, holy crap, this guy's talking about chiropractic. And, I wasn't sure that I believed in it for animals. I had only been to a chiropractor a couple times in my life, but it happened to be when I was pregnant, and the guy did amazing things for me and made it so that I could walk again. So you know, I had a little bit of belief in it, but, and frankly, the only reason I finished the course was because I had paid for it. And I thought, well, I can't go back to Bob and say, well, you know, I laughed because they were talking about something really weird. And I knew Bob wouldn't believe in it, but I thought, well, we'll just give it a try. And so I did, and I finished the course, and I went back, and I started using what I had learned, and the results were kind of miracles. Like, I was having little miracles every single day in the, you know, how the patients were moving and how they were responding, and I thought, well, this is the coolest thing ever. And I thought, you know what, I bet there's other stuff out there that works. And then there was a veterinary conference that I was going to, maybe about 10 months later in Florida, and they had kind of a mini short course intro to acupuncture. And I thought, well, how cool would that be? You know, so I'll do this like 3-day short course thing and learn about acupuncture. And I knew nothing about it, like literally zero. You know, I knew it involved needles. And so after I did the 3 days, I thought, oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. And one of the things we had to do is we had to acupuncture ourselves and, you know, to see what it felt like and how to put the needles in. And man, the first needle I put into my hand, I hit a blood vessel. And the next day I had to walk in and I looked like I had the Mickey Mouse glove. You know, I showed it to the instructor and I said, I don't think I did it right. And I had put it in that spot because I had a headache. And he said, well, I don't know. How's your headache? I said, oh, well, as soon as I put it in, my headache went away. And he goes, well, then it worked. So I think it was only because my hand hurt so much that my head stopped hurting. But I was hooked. And so from there, I just said, well, what else can I learn? So I got all of the tapes to learn Dr. Pitcairn's homeopathy. I decided that was over my head and it was way too involved. But I signed up to do the complete acupuncture course, and then I did food therapy, and then I did Reiki, and oh my gosh, I learned about essential oils and flower essences. I mean, you name it. I was open to anything. And of course, once you announce that you're doing holistic stuff, then people start coming out of the woodwork with weird things. I remember a client once came in and she had a whole deck of Japanese water cards. And so it's water crystal therapy. And so she would hold up these cards next to her dog and say, well, he needs this crystal to heal him, or he needs that. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is, like, really over the top. But, you know, a lot of these different modalities, you know, different people have different beliefs, and it's whatever works for the individual. So I have a good friend, Melissa Shelton. She is called the Oily Vet, and her specialty is essential oils. And, I mean, she's probably the world's leading expert on essential oils for animals. You know, I am one of the leading experts on Chinese medicine food therapy for animals because that's my thing. It's what I fell in love with. And so, you know, we all find that one thing that really speaks to us. So, you know, I just kind of grabbed on and like I do with everything. If I'm going to do something, I kind of go in full tilt.
No kidding. Yeah. Once you lock onto something, you won't quit until it happens. And it's not just that it happens, but it's the best that it could possibly be.
Well, why do it halfway?
Exactly, right? You just can't help it. You got to just make it the best.
Well, it was kind of, you know, if I was going to fail, I was going to fail famously.
Yeah, and so you started this transition into the more holistic side of things, and you started to incorporate it into your business. But what you have now is a little bit of a hybrid model that, to my understanding, is a little bit unique to you. You've got people that are, you know, 100% holistic, people that are 100% traditional, but you're a nice mixture of the two. Is that like a common thing in the industry, or are you a rare unicorn that created kind of your own hybrid?
I'm a little bit of a unicorn, and I want to talk a little bit more about that because I interviewed somebody recently where this came up, and it was kind of interesting, some of the thoughts that came out of it. So, again, time to take a break to hear from our sponsors. So we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll find out if I'm a unicorn or not. I like to think, you know, I'm a kitten unicorn that, you know, has rainbows and flowers. I don't know. We'll see.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. At least I hope you are. So am I a unicorn, a catacorn, as Gwen says. So it's a little bit unique to be a hybrid. You know, one of the problems that occurs very commonly, and I see it in a lot of practices around us, because acupuncture has become almost mainstream at this point. And so a lot of the mainstream traditional practices, they'll send one person to learn acupuncture, and then they go, okay, we offer holistic medicine. But they don't really, because they have one person who can throw some needles in, but they don't walk the walk. You know, they're still selling, pushing vaccines. They're still pushing chemicals. They're still pushing prescription diets while they're pushing acupuncture. And in my mind, that's not the best way to do it. Although, let me tell you, if something comes in that has an acute trauma, or that needs surgery, we're certainly going to do that. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to use pain meds if that's what we need to use. By combining the two, I think we get the best of both worlds. And, you know, I've kind of looked at from a business standpoint, you know, I've figured out how to make holistic medicine really work and how to really serve my clients and also, you know, serve my staff. And one of the problems that I see with holistic veterinarians as a whole is that sometimes we're looked at as being a little too out there or a little too odd. And if you don't, like, if you just say, you know, all traditional stuff goes out the window, you know, I think all traditional stuff is bad, you kind of become a little bit known as the crazy veterinarian, and it seems like sometimes clients think that you don't have common sense, or you don't, you know, you don't have a touch with reality. And so I see a lot of holistic practices that really, really struggle. I interviewed someone not too long ago who has her own practice, but she's working in another practice 2 days a week to make ends meet and pay bills. And she admitted that she had basically written off all traditional medicine. And she said, when I wrote off all traditional medicine and would do zero traditional, it became very difficult to serve the clients. And the clients kind of said, well, you know, what you're doing isn't working. There must be something else. And sometimes we need to fall back on, you know, some traditional medicine, especially the alternative things can take a little bit longer to get the healing to occur. And so sometimes you need a short-term fix while you're working on the long-term, the body healing itself. And so I see that very commonly, where holistic veterinarians are selling their practices, losing their practices, not able to pay their bills, having to work outside of their own practices because they don't embrace kind of both sides. And like I said, veterinarians as a whole are horrible business people. Holistic veterinarians in particular are terrible at business. We're much more interested in, you know, ooh, where can I place the acupuncture needles? What herbs can I use? What food can I use? This is a really cool case. Wow, let me spend the next 6 hours working on this case. Oh, that'll be $20. You know, we tend to get very wrapped up in it. And that's a great thing to care about our patients that much, but we also have to be able to support our staff and pay the bills.
Yeah, that's a very good point where you have to balance the compassionate side where I'm sure, you know, in a dream world, if you could just give your services away for free, you would do it in a heartbeat because you care and you want the owners and the pets to be successful. But at the same time, you have mouths to feed with your family and you have other families, your employees' families that are depending on you. So I think that's a side of the veterinarian business that is really difficult because you see clients that maybe don't have the money or think that you're, you know, oozing with wealth and they want you to do everything for free. I mean, that seems like a pretty standard struggle across the veterinary industry.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we have the highest suicide rate of any profession, which is really sad. But, you know, when a client is standing on the other side of the table and saying, well, if you really loved animals, you would do this because I can't pay for it. You know, and I have people that have 10 animals and they just adopt more and more and they can't afford to care for any of them. And somehow it's supposed to be my problem. And I can only, you know, give away so many free things. We have the good news is there are a lot of online funds, and I can direct clients, you know, for different ways to do things. And a lot of times we can find funding for some things. Care Credit has helped a lot. Pet insurance has helped a lot. But you know, I think that if you're going to have an animal, you have to accept responsibility. I mean, when you graduated from college and moved out on your own, and you know, you took a job at a quarter of the pay of what you could have been making, and your cat got sick, and you know, $10,000 in credit card bills, and you kind of went, "Wow, I just spent $10,000 on my cat." I mean, you know,
I
most
did.
People.
That is an absolutely true story.
Yeah, and you know, how many 21-year-olds go, "Wow, I'm going to go $10,000 in debt, try to save my cat."
I spent a large chunk of my yearly salary trying to save that cat. Yes. Yes, I did. And then I got a dog that went and tore her ACL, and that was a $4,000 endeavor as well. So I have not the greatest luck with very expensive pets, but I will say Care Credit has been a savior. I use them every time. I don't know who invented Care Credit, but shout out if they're listening. I love Care Credit.
Well, me too. I use it because I don't. Three of our dogs blew out ACLs, and I don't do that surgery. So, yeah, yay, Care Credit. One of our dogs, George, just had an MRI. I don't do those. $2,000. Yay, Care Credit. You know, I'll pay. It'll take me 6 months to pay it off. So, for those who are listening and think that veterinarians are really wealthy, and that because I own these businesses that I'm really wealthy, no, I have to use credit cards to pay for my own animals' medical bills, and I'm paying for it over, you know, 6 months. My little dog Jazzy, was in ICU at Penn. This was, oh God, 10 years ago, 12 years, 10 years ago. She was in ICU at Penn, and her bill was $15,000. And it took me over a year to pay that off. Thank God Penn was nice about it, but it took me over a year to pay that off. And, you know, I just worked extra. I worked, you know, it's like, fine, I'll work more hours, whatever it is. For me, I just look at it as that's my pet, that's my responsibility. I took this on. So I think that the owners have to accept some responsibility as well, and it does get very frustrating. And, you know, it's one of those things where I always, you know, well, the staff will talk about it. We'll go, wow, that person just really yelled at us because we wouldn't do it for free. And it's like, my golly, if you want somebody to do something for you, wouldn't it be nicer to be really nice and butter them up instead of yelling at them? Because if you're yelling at me, I'm not going to, like, I don't know why people think, it's like, you know, you want service, but then you yell. I don't know. It's just the way people are.
There's definitely a disconnect, I think, with the perception of being a veterinarian from, you know, the average person's side and then what it's actually like to be a veterinarian. It's not nearly as glamorous or wealthy or fun as, you know, playing with puppies and kittens all day and making millions of dollars. Well, I think that's the dream, but it's not quite reality.
It's the dream, but, you know, when you're standing there in a room and there is blood, poop, pee, and anal glands from one end to the other, and you're sitting there with scratches and bite wounds, and you kind of go, well, that was fun. Sure enjoyed that.
So I guess to wrap up this session, obviously we all love you, all of your clients and followers love you and know that you're amazing as a veterinarian and as a business owner, but what are your quick tips for people that aren't local to you but want a veterinary experience similar to the one that you've created? Is there an easy way to find people that are like you?
No. So the first place I would say to look is AHVMA.org, which is the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, AHVMA.org, and you can put in your location and they have a veterinary finder. When you do that, so you bring it up by state, it'll basically give you lists of doctors and their email address, their practice, their website, their phone number, whatever. And it'll also tell you what they're trained in, so whether they're trained in acupuncture, chiropractic, food therapy, whatever. The problem is not all holistic veterinarians are members. There's a lot, but not all. And so there might be somebody really good around the corner that you don't know about, and they're hard to find because, again, a lot of holistic veterinarians don't have good websites, if any website. They might have a Facebook page. They might not. But if you don't know about them, you can't find them. But at least the AHVMA is a good starting point. The other problem is that some people, like I talked about, you know, in a traditional practice, they send one person to learn acupuncture. And, you know, so you think you're walking into what might be a holistic practice because that doctor was listed on AHVMA, and then you walk in and the first thing you see is a huge wall full of prescription diets, and then you see another wall full of things like Bravecto and NexGard and, you know, all kinds of toxic chemicals. And, you know, if you see that, that might be a warning sign. Now, I did have a client from Ohio who drove an hour to get to what she thought was a holistic veterinarian. And she walked in the room. And when she walked into the clinic, you know, she saw all the prescription diets and all the chemical products for sale. And she went, oh, God, this isn't going to, you know, this isn't for me. But then she thought, you know what, I drove an hour to get here for this one particular doctor that's listed on the site. I'm going to give this doctor a chance. So she stuck around, went into the exam room. You know, the technician came in and took the history and did the thing. And so the doctor walks into the room a couple minutes later, and the client pulled out my book, From Needles to Natural. And it's got all its little dog ears and its little, you know, post-it notes sticking out of it.
Wow.
The doctor walks in, pulls out my book with post-it notes and the pages turned down, and they both burst into laughter and said, and the client said, I'm in the right place. So, you know, sometimes it's worth giving them a chance. But if you walk in and the first thing that they do is they're trying to push 10 vaccines, they're trying to push prescription diets, they're trying to push a lot of chemicals, you probably haven't found the right place. Now, that with that said, a lot of traditional practices will have a doctor where they are willing to work with you. And so it really is about having an open mind and going in. Don't attack them. Just ask them. You know, how do you feel about raw feeding? How do you feel about home-cooked meals? How do you feel about vaccinations? You know, are you going to see my pet or give me a hard time if I don't want to give 10 vaccines? You know, and just see if they're willing to work with you, because sometimes you can find a doctor who is incredibly nice, incredibly open-minded, may not agree with everything that you do, but they're not going to give you a hard time about it. And in my mind, as long as you have someone that you can have an open dialogue with, that you know, you both can kind of agree to disagree and respect each other's opinion, then that's what it's about. But if you're standing there and the doctor doesn't respect your opinion at all, isn't willing to listen when you say, I want a titer, then you're not in the right place. And, you know, it might mean that you have to drive across town. It might mean that you have to search you know, and ask friends. I mean, for instance, I got an email today from somebody from Raleigh, North Carolina, said they were looking for a holistic vet, and I said, I don't know, here's my daughter's email address, call her. So, and you were nice enough to answer. So, you know, ask friends, ask around, because it's sometimes not that easy. But have an open
mind. That's the hard thing. I found one veterinarian that who's obviously not you here that I liked, but she was just like this token veterinarian in a group of veterinarians that I did not like and didn't think that they treated my pets well. So that was my struggle, where I didn't like the overall practice and how they handled the clients and the pets, but there was this one veterinarian who was like, I wish I could you just open your own thing and I'll
right.
you. You're really awesome. But unfortunately, you're stuck into this group of other people that aren't so awesome. So it's hard. It's definitely a struggle. Moving gave me a new perspective. I took for granted that I had an amazing veterinarian under the same roof as me, and now I don't.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I get to see your kids pretty often. Well, very sadly, we are out of time. This has been really fun. Gwen, thanks a lot. It was kind of fun being interviewed and being on the other end. Hopefully, everybody has a little bit better appreciation about, you know, holistic veterinarians and entrepreneurs and what we do and how we're crazy. You know, I would say, you know, if you're thinking about doing something entrepreneurial, make sure you get some business help. Don't do it the way I did it. You know, there's some good things that came out of it, but it was a little crazy. So until next week, give your pets a hug, and go hug your kids too, because my kids are pretty cool. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Gwen.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.